So on Tuesday nights, if you guys come out to the Tuesday night Bible studies, it seems like every time that I'm scheduled to preach, they steal my sermon. You guys just start talking and rattling things off, and the next thing I know, that's part of my sermon, that's part of my sermon. Eddie just stole all of it this week. Eddie started reading something out of a book, and it was like, okay, that's my message for Sunday, Eddie, stop now. But no, I actually take it as a pretty good confirmation that I'm going the right direction and that I'm hearing from God when all of a sudden all the things that I'm getting ready to speak are being prepped during the week. That's really exciting to me that those things actually happen. So I'm really glad to see that that was what was going on this week and that I can know in my own heart that God, that I have received his message for you today. And the scriptures that we've been reading this morning basically form the text of our study as well. When I was at the Life 2016 conference, I'm not going to say that I've stole this message because messages aren't to be stolen, but they were to be shared. But Francis Chan spoke about entering into the throne room of God, basically. And he used a couple of different texts to illustrate this and really just get you into the mindset of, okay, we have access to the throne room of God. We can be there. And so I want to give you guys this morning, there's a very good description in Revelation, which we read for you already, but we're going to read it again. But I wonder sometimes how many of us are intimately familiar with that description. I mean, a lot of times I think we're just stuck in this place. Like, okay, well, I go to worship and I see dimly on the wall the words and some of the lights might be out and this is my throne room. Like, this is as far as you get. This is where I go to worship. But we're able to transcend that. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of weird transmeditational thing like that. But we are part of the spiritual realm. We need to recognize that. We need to honor that and be a part of it. And we're allowed to be at the throne room even now. So it's my hope that these songs that we've sung this morning and the scriptures that have been read will lay a foundation for you guys of where we're going. So Easter is still a few weeks away, and I'm going to kind of preempt the celebration. When we go into Easter, it seems like we always go in with such a somber mood. We're always so sad and sorrowful leading up to the events of the resurrection. We're kind of like, oh man, here comes the cross again, and this is horrible. This is time to be sad. But honestly, you know, I don't think we're supposed to really stay there. Now, we need to recognize that the cross is probably the most heartbreaking event in all of history. Anything that has ever happened on this world, that has got to be the most heartbreaking. And it's okay to shed tears over the cross. It's okay to have that moment of sorrow and to be in that, to understand that, because that is part of who our King, what he went through. And we need to be able to understand that and to internalize it. But I don't think that God ever intended us to get stuck in that moment of the cross permanently. That's not where it ended. We all should know that. It's not where it ended. And so a lot of times we get hung up on, here comes Easter, here comes the cross, and this is it. We stop at that moment. But Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory. We have victory. I don't know why we don't live in that sometimes. I'm going to pose a question. I hope it comes off correctly. This is kind of a chicken and egg question, so follow me on this one. But as I started to consider this sermon, I said, what is more valuable to us, the cross or the empty tomb? Which one has more value for us sometimes? And I don't know if we can actually qualify this, but in my own thinking, I thought, you know, we can't have the resurrection and the empty tomb without the cross and without the death. But if we just have the cross, then we're stuck at the death part, and we've never made it past that. And for us, we would actually still be stuck dead in our own sins if we don't make it past that death, if that's as far as it gets. The resurrection is our victory, and it is Jesus' conquering over death that we truly celebrate in the Christian life. He came back to life. We come back to life. We are risen with him. That is part of our baptism. That's why that symbolism, going under the water and being buried, raised back up to new life. We are new creations. This is what it's all about. And as I said before, it didn't simply end at the resurrection either. We all know that after the resurrection, Jesus ascended to be seated at the right hand of God. It says that in Scripture. Just as he was received up into heaven on a cloud, so also he shall return. I mean, that's exciting to me. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like when those guys are standing there and all of a sudden he just starts floating up on a cloud like, he's flying, guys. And then, of course, in Acts, it also says that they just kind of stood there, were watching for a while. Like, it took an angel like, hey, oh, yeah, we got to go do stuff now. We can't just keep waiting. Like, we're just standing here in amazement and awe and watching this event happen. And the angel's like, you know he's coming back the same way, so off go. You got something to do. And that's why we sang the days of Elijah. You know, he's coming on the cloud. He's going to return in that manner. The description, I don't think that's in this particular section of Scripture I'm going to read, but that description of him coming back on the cloud, for those who don't know, it's going to be terrifying. And for those who do know, it's going to be hallelujah, amen, screaming at the top of our lungs like the greatest victory in sports ever. I don't know, imagine what you want, Super Bowl or whatever else. It's greater than that. It should be much, much greater than that, much, much bigger. So entering into the throne room of God. That leads me to today's message. I've known for a few weeks that Pastor would be out of town, and eventually I'd be speaking. It was supposed to be earlier. It got a little delayed. And so I've been praying about this for a little while and say, okay, God, what do you want me to speak about? And he started giving me some ideas, but they didn't really materialize. And so I got to this past week, and I said, all right, God, I don't have a sermon yet still, so what is it I'm speaking on this week? And I said, okay, let me start with the worship part of it, because I know I was leading worship. So I started putting song ideas down and going through the lists. And as I went through the list, I suddenly realized, I was like, these all have a theme here. Like, I wasn't just like, oh, I want this one and this one and this one because these match. I was just like, let's do this song, let's do this song, let's do this song. And a couple of these were I'm not going to say they're new, like, oh, 4,000 tongues to sing and all creatures of our God and King. They're not new songs, but we play them a little differently than maybe we do in a traditional sense. So we kind of learned some new stuff with that, too, in the practice of worship. But God said, okay, here it is. This is the message. You're going to talk about entering the throne room. You're going to talk about Revelation 4. This is where I want you to go. And I said, okay, God, let's go there. And in Revelation 4, the Apostle John, he's given this wonderful revelation, this vision of standing in the throne room and seeing all that's going on there. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. But then I asked myself, I said to God, okay, why this passage in particular? What is it that you wanted me to get out of this? Where is there a connection to what's going on in our church? And so God started talking to me again. He said, okay, Pastor Myron has been doing this series for what feels like forever. That's not a criticism. It just feels like it's been forever because there's been stuff in between. But he's been doing firsthand faith for a long time. And this is an aspect of firsthand faith that we need to understand and to receive. It was never my intention to continue his series, but the elements of this message were piggybacking off of many of the ideas and the things that he's spoken in the last few weeks. So I believe that the purpose of this message is actually to give everyone here what I would call a litmus test about whether or not you're living in firsthand faith. Because we're all in different stages of life, and there's many, many ways that we can react to what's being read, and that's okay. But this is going to give you a bit of a flavor to say, okay, what is my spirit? How is it resonating? What's going on here? Am I receiving this? And I'm not going to say that it's an absolute 100% verifiable test that is perfect. It's nothing like that. But I don't want you guys to also, I don't want to create a feeling of guilt or condemnation either. There are some tough realities to how we react to these things, and we do have to confront ourselves. That will be between you and God later to say, okay, what was my reaction? Where am I with you, God? And I'll discuss some of that later and kind of give us some how-tos, some tips, and some pointers on it. But again, I'm not here to say, okay, well, that person doesn't get it, that person doesn't get it, that person doesn't get it. That person's great, that person's great. That's not my intention at all here this morning. This is between you and God. But it is tough, and I don't like to pull my punches when it comes to Scripture, because God, to me, is clear. And I don't think we need to bend his message or gray it. It's a lot of times it's this or that. I do, however, want to encourage positive reactions to be made public here. As an act of worship, and we should feel freedom. We really ought to feel freedom to express ourselves as we're going through this and say, you know, as we're reading the Scripture, if you see something, you're like, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. If you need to say something, let it out. We shouldn't be restricted and say, oh, I like that, but I don't want to say anything. I don't want someone to look at me funny. We're here to worship. We're here to worship corporately. Now, at the same time, I don't want people going nuts and flipping over things and smash and stuff like, yeah, woo. This isn't Philadelphia's Super Bowl parade where they destroy the city, okay? Fred's not here. We should be okay. Tell him I said that. Okay, so the other thing too, when I was in elementary school, we used to do critical thinking is what they would call it. They'd say, okay, we're going to put on our thinking caps. And I don't know how long ago that started, or if has anybody ever heard that phrase? I got a few hands, a few nods. Good. Okay. So we put on our thinking caps. Now, what we're doing this morning is not so much, there may be some critical thinking involved with it, but we're not really doing critical thinking this morning. I instead phrased it as we're going to put on our spiritual imagination caps because I want us to think spiritually about what's going on here. This is in the spiritual realm that this is happening. So in a minute, I'll have you guys all put your spiritual imagination caps on and get into your mind. I want you to picture in your mind's eye exactly what is being described in Scripture. And I'm going to first pray that the Holy Spirit helps everyone here to see that and to understand it, to put yourself into this moment, because this is not something that is simply to come or something that happened already. It's all the time. It's right now, even. This is happening, and we can be a part of it. So, and here I'm going to challenge everybody with this one, too. I want everybody to close their eyes. So you can go ahead and close your eyes and keep them closed. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read this, and then we're going to react to it. So go ahead and close your eyes with me. I'm going to pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here right now. Father, we know that you are sitting on your throne at all times, that you have all this going on around you, that you are being worshipped, as we sung this morning, holy, holy, holy. You are the great I am, who was and is to come, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Jesus, we know you are there too, seated at the right hand of God. All authority has been given to you. So Holy Spirit, take us to that place this morning. Help us to be with you in your presence. So keeping your eyes closed, let me read this for you guys. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and sardius in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Imagine these things. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. And the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." You can open your eyes. Wow. Are you guys there? Could you see it? Could you imagine it in your own head? I mean, sometimes this is like, this is out there. Little interaction here. What is your reaction to all this? How are you being moved? Tell me what's going on in some of you guys. What can you express? Feel free.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. That's right. Mm-hmm. What else? Overwhelmed. Absolutely. No. No, it's funny. If you Google images of what people think this looks like, I mean, there's a description, but we don't really get it. You know, and it's funny to see all the different interpretations of like animals with eyes all over them or what they're doing. And this scene, it appears elsewhere in the Bible. This is not the first time that this was seen. This description of these creatures exists elsewhere. What else, though? What else are you guys getting from these images in your head? How are you feeling about it? Wow is all I got. So in our current age and culture, I'm going to venture out and say this. I think many churches are failing to create or make available this atmosphere within their worship services. We don't enter into that scene when we come into worship a lot of times. We fail to instill the proper attitude of worship or what it truly means to stand or bow in the presence of God, which includes but is not limited to, as you guys have suggested, there's awe, reverence, humbleness, praise and joy, excitement, peace, boldness. Sometimes we come before God with boldness even, and et cetera, and et cetera. The list is endless. I mean, you can come up with as many words as you want, but there's all these attitudes that we sometimes don't come to God that way. We're just, oh, you're God and I'm me and I'll do what I want. When we come to worship together, especially on Sunday mornings, and I mean, has anyone considered we're here with, I don't know how many people are here, 60, 70 maybe people. There's 60 or 70 of us here. Throughout this time zone right now, there's probably millions of people worshiping at the exact same moment. They're all at the throne room just with us, even though we're not in the same proximity in a building. We're all together in the spiritual realm. And this is going on around the world. Every hour of the day, somebody is just starting or ending worship, especially on a Sunday for the most part. But it doesn't just end there. We are corporately entering the throne room of God to worship before him. This is just a building. This is just wood and drywall. There's honestly nothing special about the materials that are used to build our building. It really isn't. We respect it and we take care of it. But in our hearts and in our spirit, we should be posturing ourselves as if we are at the very throne room of heaven in the spiritual realm. And that's what we need to take out of this. We need to have this posture, whether it's bowing or dancing and all that kind of stuff. I'll get into that. But as I said, I kind of came up with some examples too. And these hurt, and I will admit that I've said them too. So don't think I'm separate. But how many times do people go to church and, oh, I don't have to get up early. Okay, fine, but I'll get there when I get there. Especially today when the time changes. Oh, jeez. I want another hour, please. All right, off to church I go, but as soon as I get done with church, off to my plans that I've got after church, because this is just a little interruption in between where I'm going today. How many times we say that? Or, all right, God, you get 1 hour maximum, and my duty is done to you this week. I fulfilled my end of the bargain. I'll see you next week. I mean, I've done that many times. Like, I'm just going to church because I got to go, and then I go home. I think I've improved on that as I've gotten older because I'm in a different place, but those words have come out of my mouth. Like, I don't want to get up today. I don't want to go. These attitudes are to our shame. Let's call it as it is. This is to our shame if this is how we come to church. You know, it's a duty. It's a chore. It's such a burden to go to church. Well, then don't come. I mean, if it's that much of a burden, but we want you here, don't get me wrong, but get into the mind, think about it. We should be experiencing those other attitudes right now. The awe, the reverence, the humbleness, the praise, the joy, the excitement. It could be any of those. What we're seeing in Revelation 4, again, like I said before, it's not something that's to come in the future. It is now. It is in the present. This is going on in heaven now. We should be desiring and hungering to stay in that moment as well. Our attitude really, and I wrote this one down because I know I was going to mess it up. When we leave a place of worship, it should be like a kid leaving a toy store. Daddy, mommy, I don't want to leave. I want to go back and see the toys. My kids do that to me all the time. Let me go see the toys. I don't want to go home. Is that our attitude when we walk out the door here? We're just like, okay, I got food in the oven. I got to go. I got to go. Football game's coming on. I got to go. Or I don't want to leave this place. I want to stay here. And our other attitude should be, man, I can't wait to go back to that place the first chance I get. To go back to the throne room and say, because that's a reality too, is we can't always keep ourselves in the throne room because God has a job and a mission for us to go out and do. And while we have that joy and that privilege to come and be in the throne room, he's like, okay, thanks for coming and I'm glad you're here and I love you, but you got stuff to do, so go ahead and you can come back in a little bit. It's okay. You'll be back. Don't worry. And one day we'll get to be there forever. So it's okay. Our purpose and our desire should be to worship and exalt God and God alone all the time, both now in this life and in the life to come. This is what heaven and eternity holds for us, though. This is it. For all who call on Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that's important. If we don't see Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then this is not what eternity holds for us. But it begins now. This world is a pale, broken reflection of the majesty that exists in heaven. I think you started to say that, Wendy. You said this majesty, the wonder of it all. And we cannot deny ourselves and God the ability to begin that celebration here on earth. We know how the story ends, so why don't we live in victory now? Okay, so this ties all back into the firsthand faith. If you're living out firsthand faith, then this passage in Revelation 4 probably elicited some sort of response within you. There's a variety of them. You guys gave a variety. But for those who are living in second or third hand faith, then you may have not felt anything at all. This is what Pastor's been talking about, is living on other people's faith and not living your own, not reading this and saying, wow, I'm there. I understand what's going on there. And it's okay. And again, like I said before, I'm not here to guilt and condemn. We're all in different places. A person who's just started reading the Bible may not be able to go right to that moment because they haven't cultivated that relationship with God and have gotten to that point. But there should be some sort of response within us. So I broke this down into a couple categories. For those who felt no reaction or felt even a resistance as this was being read, I think the real core of the problem, and this is from Scripture, is that no one can call Jesus Lord or God unless you've received the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians 12:3. You have to have the Holy Spirit to say Jesus is Lord. You can't do it outside of that. Somebody could just say the words, but that means nothing. This is faith and belief and conviction. Jesus is my Lord, my God, and you have to have the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is the evidence that we belong to God. He is called our seal. Like, this is a legal term, that he's a seal on us. And that's in Ephesians 1, 13, 14. It talks about it being a seal. And if we have not been sealed by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, then the truth really is that you might not be saved, because you have to have that Spirit. As soon as we're saved, he comes, he takes up residence. This is what happens to us. He is our seal. He is the evidence that we are saved. And I know that may seem like a hurtful statement, but these are scriptures. So if you have an argument, you go talk to God. I am just a messenger. Please don't shoot me after the service. I don't want to die yet. Well, I do want to die because I'll go to heaven, but you should understand that. So if you felt nothing or not moved in the least in a tiny way, whether it's good or bad, joy, discomfort, well, you need to seriously ask yourself questions. These are the questions that, and again, this is why I said this is introspective. You need to ask yourself these things. Where is my faith? Where is my heart? Who is my God? These are worth asking ourselves if you don't feel some kind of reaction to this image of what's going on in heaven. If you enter into the throne room of God and show no response, it merits some soul searching. That's what I would call soul searching. And I want to challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit to make this a reality to you. Like I said, we're all in different places, and that's okay. But sometimes we have to say, Spirit, help me get there. Help me understand this. Help me receive this into me. I want to be there. I want to get to that point. It takes time. Sometimes it takes a little bit of practice, and a lot of times it just takes God really speaking to you directly. So that's the first reaction. The second one I wrote down is, if you're struggling with your internal reaction with this, that's okay, and it's a good place to be. If you're like, I'm not sure, like I'm kind of, I felt this, and I kind of felt this, and I'm not really sure. That's okay. That's a good thing. I always tell people that if God is speaking to you or you have questions about stuff, because some people are like, I don't know. I don't get it. But if you're searching and you're questioning and in your spirit you are wrestling with things, that is an excellent place to be, because wrestling means you care. If you don't care, then you can just walk out a door and forget anything that you've heard at any time, and just that's it, you're done. You know, if you have a conversation with a person and you walk out the door and you don't remember anything they say, you might have a memory problem, but more than likely you just didn't care because you didn't listen. I mean, that's just how we work as people. Conversations and listening, it says it's quick to listen, slow to speak. We need to be quick to listen. But if you walk away and you're like, I'm still, something's here, I got to think about this, I got to work with it, I got to figure this out, that's good. That is a good place to be, and I encourage that. James 4:8 tells us specifically, you know, when we're wrestling with these things, this is the opportunity that we have to come to God and get answers. And James 4:8 tells us when we draw close to God, he draws near to us. So that's good. That is a good place to be. Finally, the last position here, for those who had a positive reaction, remember to come back to this place frequently, daily at least, frequently throughout the day, and say, man, I'm just there. I'm just in the throne room. I'm at that place right now. To be in that presence of God. Imagine yourself in the throne room as it was described, and go back and read it, because there's a lot of stuff going in here. And some of these words, I don't know what sardius looks like. I'm not sure what that, I mean, I know what jasper looks like. I know what, it says there's a rainbow like an emerald in appearance. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm like, a rainbow emerald. I'm like, okay, well, let me think about it. And imagine, ask God to reveal that to me. Think about the thrones. Think about the elders. Think about the creatures. It's okay. Be in that place. Imagine those things. Some days you might be approaching the throne in reverence, humbled, presenting your request with one knee bowed. Sometimes you need to come and just say, okay, Lord, I come and I'm asking for this. I need your help. You know, you imagine those movies with like the knights that come before the king, and they bowed and they did their thing and they spoke with humbleness and reverence, and we can do that. Other days you just need to come and just dance and just be in joy and exuberance before God. And I wrote down that we're dancing with joy in the presence of our Father, who's smiling down on the exuberance of it all. I mean, for those who have had kids or for those who have just watched kids, when a kid is having fun and running around and yelling and screaming and having joy, it's just like, okay, yeah, this is great. Like, you just enjoy the childlike, joy is the only word I have for it. It's just this exuberance, this happiness, and it's so pure and just unfettered. And they don't care what they're doing. I mean, I'm, of course, as a parent, I'm usually like, shh, quiet, there's other people. But I enjoy it many other times, depending on my situation. But you should enjoy it. But still, there's other days where you just need to crawl up in the Father's lap. He's our Abba Daddy as well. And there's those days you just need to, you're broken, you're sobbing, you're crying, whatever the problem is, you don't feel like you can go on. And those are the days when you just crawl up in his laps and he just wraps his arms around you. He just holds you for a while. For me, I kept imagining the movie Inside Out, because at the end of that movie, if you've ever seen it, the little girl comes back home. I'm sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. The little girl comes back home to her parents and they're all hugging. And it was one of these moments that, oh man, I'm going to like cry now thinking about it, because I'm like, this is my own kids. But there's this moment where she's hugging and they're holding and you hear her go, and just lets that sigh out, because it's that comfort, and it's instinctive, intrinsic. This isn't something like you don't plan out those sighs of relief in your life. You're just like, because it's genuine. And that's what I imagine being in the Father's lap and just being like, okay, it's okay. And, you know, let your tears roll. And he'll let you stay in that moment as long as you need as well. Doesn't that sound wonderful, though? Just simply wonderful. This is who we have access to. Isn't this the place where you want to be all the time with your heart? You want to be there. I hope this is what you guys want. I really do. When you've been to that place, and this is the challenge for all who have been there. When you've been to that place and tasted of the goodness of the Lord, that is a phrase you'll find in Scripture, this tasted of the goodness of the Lord, you're going to want to share it with others. You need to share it with others. God invites everyone to share in his presence. And we who have tasted of his goodness must be compelled to share it with others and say, you can come there too. Let go of the hurts of the world. Dance for joy. Come and ask for what you need. Our purpose is to love God and to love others. It's the greatest commandment. It's the simplest thing that we can remember. Love God, love others. If we love God, we'll love others. When we're loving others, we're loving God. It goes in circles. He has invited us to worship at the throne, and he gives us the mission of spreading that invitation to all who we meet. So that's where we need to be. We need to go there. We need to be in that place. We need to not be like, I was glad that you said that, Deborah. We don't need to be afraid of it either. And we can just be there any moment. There's nothing in that place that should terrify us. Sometimes we come with fear because we're in fear and reverence and awe of God, and that's a slightly different fear, but it shouldn't be afraid. There shouldn't be afraid like, whoa, this is weird. I need to go to a safe place. That is the safe place. So we had another song on the list, but I don't know if we want to do it or not. Should we do it? Victory in Jesus? Let's sing Victory in Jesus. I'm going to grab this and because that's what this is. This is Victory in Jesus. And like I said, we're kind of preempting Easter here and celebrating early. But if you'll stand with us, we'll get that up on the screen. There it is. But I genuinely